What is good, everyone? This is your host, Deanna Radulescu with Label Free Podcast. To live your best life, you must live label free. As always, bringing incredible guests from all over the world. So sit back, relax, and tune in. My next guest is an unretired professor of communication. He is the author of The Integrity Game. He is also a coach and the founder of Get a Clue. Please welcome Jeffrey Klubeck. Jeffrey, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. We're about to have some fun, I believe.
Absolutely. Well, there's a lot to unpack here. So first, let's kind of cover, I said you're retired. You said, no, unretired. And then I was going to say, oh, well, just a professor. And then you're like, well, no, unretired is kind of catchy. So I do like that. It is. So why don't you fill us in a little bit? Now, why are you unretired?
Yeah, well, lots to unpack there. I mean, at the heart of it all is my love for my alma mater, San Diego State University, where I attended and survived 18 consecutive semesters. I got two degrees out of it, but I was on the more than most plan, more years than most plan. But anyway, I started teaching there, and that's when I fell in love with it, and I got good at it, and I was asked to continue teaching after my master's in the San Diego Community College District.
Sure.
I taught two or three classes every semester in addition to building my career at Oricom as a recruiter. Anyway, my coaching, consulting, and speaking and training took off. Yeah. And then I was going around the world, and I couldn't commit to brick and mortar anymore.
Yeah.
And I thought I was going to die in the classroom because I love it so much, empowering adult learners, especially young adult learners.
Yeah.
But I was committed to my coaching and my consulting and my speaking and my training. And I retired in 2017, but you're going to ask me about the Integrity Game in a little bit. I wrote the Integrity Game, published it in 2022. And in my promotions for it, the then interim dean at San Diego State University, my alma mater, likes one of my posts. I'm like, how do we even dean who? I don't even
know. Yeah,
how did that go?
Yeah.
And I followed it, though. I went with my gut and I just leaned into it. And I said, hey, how do we know each other? Thank you for liking my post. But you know, it was in her, shout out to her. She's like a mentor to me now, Dr. Heather Canary. And she says, I'm familiar with your name. I want to learn more about the Integrity Game. I said, get out of town. And I started feeling really, the trembling about it. Like, wow, wait a second. Because I'm launching this concept about the Integrity Game in personal professional growth space, but I hadn't even imagined it incubating further in academia.
Yeah.
So we met, and after I told her about my grad school experience, my teaching experience, and what I was doing entrepreneurially, you working with coaches, as a coach consultant, but working with other entrepreneurs and progressive organizations and so forth, she says, I'll never forget. She says, how would you like to reconnect with your alma mater? And
that's awesome.
Now here's the thing, Janet. I want you to understand that I got two degrees there, met my wife there, and our firstborn son was verbally committed on a D1 scholarship to play baseball at San Diego State. And now here's the interim dean of professional studies and fine arts asking me how I'd like to reconnect with my alma mater. And I'm like, oh my God, my son's going to kill me, but I can't say yes fast enough. Next thing you know, I'm back in the classroom, unretired, teaching organizational communication, upper division elective to graduating seniors, and I got to make the Integrity Game required reading for all of them to supplement the textbook. And San Diego State goes to the championship game last year in March Madness Final Four, and so happy March Madness to you as of this recording. It's the first day of the tournament. So, I mean, there's a lot there, and it's all exciting, and it's full circle for me to be on campus at my alma mater, getting all those memories from the 9 years that I was there, but also creating new memories. And then I've got students in my classroom that I feel like a dad now. My son is in college. It's the whole thing is.
Wait a second. You have a son in college. You do not look old enough to have a son in college. You look great. You look actually like you just graduated college.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm just going to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, well, you're whatever you're doing, it's working. So you're aging very well. That's a great story right there.
Yeah.
I want to before we start moving into the other stuff. I want to ask you this as a professor, and being like working as a professor, retiring, then coming back.
Yeah.
And teaching communication. How has communication changed in the last 10 years because of social media, cell phones, and I have a girlfriend who's a professor at Loyola. And she talks about how she's got to teach kids how to write emails. And I think it's a form of communication. And it's just very interesting to me. I mean, we were taught that how to write a professional email in high school for my demographic. Right. And so I'm curious, and then we'll move on.
I'm coming up with a really humorous answer to that to offset the sad truth that attention spans were already small and now they're smaller.
Yeah.
the instant gratification, the addiction to the devices, and the grammar, spelling, punctuation. And then it's also what's happening sociopolitically.
Yeah.
I just came back earlier this week from Education 2.0 conferences, and I moderated a panel on the letter grade dilemma. And anyway, so we're talking, I was in conversations about all of this. So let me tell you that the grammar, the spelling, the punctuation is horrible. But one thing we all know as educators, and I'm like quasi, right? I teach my couple classes, but I'm not full time with all the politics and the administrative. And I come in, do my thing, get out. I'm all about the students, of by and for the students. But I'm still aware of how little funding there is for anything that really impacts the students. And I'm aware of how political and these decisions and the compliance and the all of the stuff. And for me, if the rules don't benefit the students, if you can't tell me exactly how the rule benefits the students, I'm not interested.
Right.
And so students are pawns in games, and they're caught up in this institutional madness. And there's the syllabus, you see, not just the students and the fact that they can't read, write, or spell it anymore. But the reason that they can't is because high school, the experience, junior high experience, they're all burnt out.
Yeah.
And so now how does the educator have enough energy? Like all the educators passing the buck. It's like they'll learn grammar, spelling, punctuation somewhere else.
Right.
By the time they get to be in college now, it's shocking. And I was just out of the classroom for 6 years and coming back, it's shocking. I remember last year thinking to myself, oh my God, my community college students had better grammar, spelling, punctuation than my university, San Diego State students. And but it doesn't, they're all brilliant. They're all dynamic. They're all stronger than the system gives them the time to show. Instructors need to be patient with them. And then we have to adapt to what's really going on. Now, the joke of this all, Deanna, is that they're all going to start growing a third eyeball
right
here so that they'll protect themselves while they're on their damn phones.
Yeah, right. Sure.
Because evolution, right? So as shocked as we may be about the signs of the times, it's part of an evolution, and everybody's got to adapt. And the last thing that I'll say is my heart goes out for these kids, because like I'm teaching speech 103 now, it's all freshmen. And I remember when my son and daughter were like rolling out of bed. Oh, they didn't roll out of bed. They just rolled to the other side where their laptop was, put it on their lap before eating breakfast, before drinking water, before brushing teeth. They're in class, in their beds, coming out of the COVID. So the zombie apocalypse, and then the socio-political pressures that create so many stresses for educators, administrators, where they're having to comply and watch their backs and protect themselves from all kinds of stuff. And none of these rules benefit the kids.
Yeah.
So students, where I'm having a lot of success is that students know that I love them. They feel loved.
They feel
recognized. They feel heard. Like I will defend them from anything that doesn't support them. And I say things like, no Aztec left behind.
Yeah.
And I try to use motivational speaking and anything that I would use on stage at a conference where entrepreneurs are going to invest $30,000 to $50,000 in themselves at the end of the 3-day event. I'm going to use the same techniques in the classroom.
Yeah. I like it. I love it. One more question and we'll move on to the integrity game. Now I'm a fan and I'm very much love to adapt to, I don't want to be left behind, right? So I'm big into technology. I'm 47, but I probably have
Oh, wait, here we go. Wait, what? You don't look a day over 27.
All right. Thank you. We're reciprocating.
I know it takes one to know one. That's where that compliment earlier came from. You what? Okay, now we're even. All right, go ahead.
All right, very cool. But now I have asked this to my girlfriend because we just celebrated her birthday about ChatGPT and how that's changing things from an educational standpoint, but now also communication. Because it's you can go to ChatGPT, just put in shorthand what you want it to say, and it'll formulate a great letter for you or paper for you. Or for me, it's article or press release or social media post. However, I am writing out what I wanted to essentially say, but how does that come into play for you in communication?
My first experience of it was last year when I was teaching organizational communication. There's this one student, and I wasn't ready for it. I didn't put two and two together. I was naive. I was trying to give feedback to the student, hey, good effort here. There's a lot here. but it doesn't reflect an understanding of the assignment.
Yeah.
And I was actually trying to give feedback to somebody who didn't care about it. They were just typing something in, a couple of prompts, and then turning it. And I didn't even put two and two together, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's interesting. So now, back to what I was talking about earlier, I'm an adjunct. They barely give me benefits, which is something that's totally different. Now, I only need to teach, you know, six units or something like that to qualify for benefits, whereas before they would cap you at the number of classes that ensured that they didn't have to offer, at least that was the community college. My point is, I don't teach for the money. the peanuts in my mailbox once a month. I'm teaching to empower the kid, you know.
Sure.
So it's like, all right, now you got to ask the question. Do they pay me enough to have a conversation with this student about their use of ChatGPT?
Yeah.
Do they? Am I just teaching my classroom and evaluating what comes in, or do I need to go a step deeper and now... Right. Sorry, clients, sorry, kids, sorry, wife. I have to talk with the student about the use of ChatGPT, and I don't have to, but do I want to, and do they pay me enough? Yeah. Where's my motivation? Is it my jurisdiction to intervene on that, or do I just grade what comes in and move on? So like for Henry Ford, he loved cars, and he wanted you to tint your windows and hang the fuzzy dice and trick it out and do the rims and have experiences in your car. But Ford Motor Company just wants to move them off the line.
Right, right, right.
Yeah. So we're all in a really screwed up situation where we have to integrate competing interests
in the
commitment to our authenticity.
Like you're in the field right now giving like plays to the players.
Well, but... I'm hyper visual.
I love it.
Let's go love people. Let's go empower people. Let's go cut through all the noise. And
for sure.
You said maybe at the end, you know, you give me a moment to leave a powerful word or whatever it is. Maybe I'll have something come to mind at that point. But right now, I'm going to boldly suggest, and I actually said this to Dr. Heather Canary, and I wish I would have slowed down and packaged it a little different because it was intended not as much the way it was received not as much the way I intended. But here's what I'm going to say. And I better be careful as if she was listening. I know that the role that teachers have always played, and I know the value of teaching and teachers, but I'm not so sure that that's what students need right now.
Sure. Okay.
With access to information, I believe what learners need is coaches and mentors.
Yeah.
If we can get somebody to love themselves and be seen, heard, and recognized, included, and embraced.
Yes.
They'll run through a brick wall and learn anything. They'll go teach themselves whatever they want. They'll learn with and from each other if they can figure out who they are, why they're here. But are educators taking the time to figure out who their students are and why they're here? Or are the educators just saying, hey, if you don't follow my rules, you're going to get the red hand?
Right, yeah.
It's interesting. It's an interesting sandbox to play in.
Very much so. All right. Thank you for answering those questions. So I was just curious about some of those things. I always like to have those thought-provoking conversations because these kids that are coming out of college, out of school, are our future. And what does that look like for us when we have access to all these? You know, we all carry a mini computer in our pocket. And it's like, you know, for me, like I think back when I was in school, like it's just changed dramatically. And it's just like, what does that look like for us in our future? But that could
you're all about no labels. You're all about out of the box thinking. You know, I teach critical thinking. I'm like one of the first people to teach these 18-year-olds critical thinking. They say, well, what is critical thinking? And somebody will say, I start off, it's so hard to teach critical thinking. You got to force kids to challenge their own assumptions about right and wrong, good and bad, clean and dirty, civil and savage.
Right. So answer what bring their own opinion opposed to what they've been programmed with. Like always to question what the narrative is. For me,
that's it.
You know.
You just hit it on the head. I'll ask them to start off the conversation. First of all, say, hey, listen, my apologies in advance if I screwed this up. Because teaching critical thinking is one of the hardest things to teach. So will you guys forgive me if I screw up?
Right.
And they're like, what? And they got their guard down. And I said, all right, well, what is critical thinking? And somebody will say, thinking outside the box. I'm like, okay. And then somebody will nod. I'm like, oh, what? She took your answer? Okay, great. But then I slow down when I've got them in the palm of my hand.
Yeah.
I say, so what's the box?
Right. Yeah.
If critical thinking is thinking outside the box, then what's the box? And I think you said it, Dana, just a second ago. It's unquestioned information. Information that comes along that doesn't receive a question
is
the box. Yeah. So I'm loving this interview.
Yeah, for sure.
Hi, guys. This is your host, Deanna Radulescu with Label Free Podcast. I'm here to share another exciting partnership with you. I have joined forces with doTERRA. They are the leading provider of high-quality essential oils. I've got some here I like to consume, the ones that are consumable. So like sweet orange is really great. I also really, really love their toothpaste. Natural whitening and kind of really helps clean your mouth. You know, we do carry a lot of germs in our mouth, but I've loved the toothpaste. I've ordered it many times. These are some supplements. Here is the Lifelong Vitality Pack. Really great products, high quality products. Definitely recommend it. I also really love the collagen. NMN is a proven anti-aging product. So the collagen and the NMN together is a real game changer. I'm big into collagen. I believe it. I've been taking it for like 20 years before it's even gotten so popular. And that's probably why I maintain my skin elasticity, my hair and nails. I highly recommend checking out doTERRA if you're a fan of high quality essential oils. Not all essential oils are created the same. Go click the links in the description, sign up, or take advantage of one of my bundles that I'm recommending to you with the toothpaste, also the cleaning products and the supplements. So you guys, thank you so much for tuning in. We really appreciate you and stay tuned for more to come. Okay. Well, I love the title of your book, The Integrity Game. I feel like as society kind of progresses here, especially the last couple of years, we're lacking integrity in a lot of things. So what does this book mean for the consumer?
Okay. Well, first of all, it's in the mind of the beholder, isn't it?
Like, yes.
You know, show me the consumer and let me talk with them for an hour and I can tell you what meaning they might make of it.
Right, because it can mean something different to everyone.
You got it. You know. Yeah. So you could tell how spring-loaded I am to think outside of the box.
Yeah.
So without responding to you specifically, you individually, sure, society lacks integrity. Well, let's think outside the box, because so 100% of society will agree with you when you say that. So yeah. Wait a second. 100% of the people that I just say lack integrity, yeah, would agree with me when I say it. So we got to get outside of this box.
Different things, right? There's integrity in how you handle yourself professionally, in your family life, personal life. Like, yeah, there's different levels of integrity in everything that we do.
Yeah, context determines what's expected, what's appropriate, what's effective.
Right.
So let's pin on the board. I'm going to come back to that.
Okay.
Let's stay outside of the box, because this is the very first thing I'm trying to do with the integrity game is shift our thinking around it.
Okay.
Okay. So when, and I just did this earlier this week, and when I'm doing keynotes and presentations and conferences, I'll play the integrity game.
Yeah.
And I'll ask the audience after I introduce myself, I believe soft skills make strong leaders, teams, and orgs. How many of you believe you have integrity? Guess what happens? How many, raise your hand if you believe, 100% of the hands go up. And I say, hang on, all right, now wait. Oh, left hand, I'm sorry. Raise your right hand and repeat after me. I do solemnly swear not to shoot the messenger in 37 minutes.
Yeah.
Because by the end of this keynote, I'm going to ask you again. And I don't know if all of you are going to raise your hand. I don't know if you raise your hand so quickly, but hang on.
Right.
I don't want to offend anybody. I want good ratings. I want to be invited back for another keynote next year. So what if?
Right, yeah.
And so here's what I've learned, found, discovered, proven. I can ask 100 audiences with 100 or more people, like a million, what is integrity? I'm always going to get two answers. I'm never not going to get these two answers. Sometimes I might get a third answer, fourth answer, but these two are always there. You're going to know what they are. Ready? Number one.
Yeah.
Be your word.
Yes.
Do what you say you're going to do. Okay. Let's pin that on the board. Number two. Do the same thing when nobody's watching as you would when somebody's watching. Mm-hmm. Right? So do the right thing when nobody's watching.
Right.
Pin those on the board. Okay? Now, Deanna, what I like about those two, okay, is that in both cases, are you ready? This is the thought leading. You tell me if I'm doing a good job here, because it's what I want to do.
So far, yeah.
I don't know if I'm doing it. But this is what I hope is thought leading. In both of those scenarios, both of those understandings of what integrity is, be your word and do the right thing regardless of who's watching. Are you ready? I'm slowing down for this. There is an integration.
For sure.
There's a coming together of two or more things. Over here, it's word with behavior. We integrate our word with behavior when we do what we said. And over here, we're integrating behavior with some moral compass.
Right.
And like you said earlier, that moral compass can shift from context to context to context. Sure. You know, my morals may shift if I'm in church or synagogue versus if I'm in Capitol Hill or if I'm in a classroom or if I'm on stage. My morals, my values, it may be, right? But I'll come back to that in a second. So despite the fact that they start with the same six letters, nobody uses the word integration in their answer.
Right.
Because that would just be neutral and objective, right? Integrated or not integrated, together or not together,
right?
But what we want to cling to is judgmental. You weren't your word. You didn't.
Right.
And no offense, I'm not blaming you, but I'm going to quote you.
Sure.
Society lacks integrity. That's a judgment on some level, right? Now, I know that you're not a judgmental person.
No, not at all.
You're observant, right?
Yes.
But what I'm trying to take, I want to take the judgment vibration out of it.
Okay.
And just make it, and look, am I holding the pen or not? You know, I'm holding it. No, I'm not. It's not good or bad or right or wrong.
Right.
It's just together or not together, integrated or not. Now, the other thing I like about those two answers, word with behavior and behavior with values, is guess what? Behavior shows up in both equations.
Sure. Absolutely.
So behavior is the evidence of our integrity. But we all judge ourselves by our intent. Well, I didn't mean to. Well, I was just trying to. Well, I wasn't really going to. Then the rest of the world's judging our behavior. And guess what? We're judging everybody else's behavior when we could be judging them by their intention. Maybe that would soften the blow a little bit.
Yeah.
I've asked my students, how many of you have ever told yourself, I want to offend that person right now, and the next behavior that I engage in is intended to offend that person, and nobody raises their hand?
Sure. Yeah.
Now I say, well, how many of you have ever been offended? And they all raise their hand. I'm like, so the math doesn't add up, does it? Nobody's ever offended anybody purposely, but everybody's been offended. So what's happening is the world is taking offense.
Yeah.
Where none is intended.
Right.
All right. Wow. So where's the integrity there?
Right.
Okay. But so you understand the two things I like about these answers. Number one, I get to shine a light on integration and try to eliminate the judgmental vibration. And number two, I get to shine the light on our behavior rather than our attempts, our excuses, our self-talk, or I didn't mean to.
Right.
All right, so we're getting closer to non-threatening accountability. That's what the whole point is. If I can make accountability non-threatening, I can change the world.
Yeah.
And that's what the integrity game at a high level is trying to do. Now, are you ready to have some fun?
Yes.
Want to know what I don't?
Let's go.
Know what I don't like about these two answers?
What's that?
Well, be your word. What if I said to myself or anyone that I was going to, I always use this example because, anyway, what if I said I was going to drink 18 beers before our podcast interview today, and then I drink 18 beers before our podcast interview? I will have done what I said I was going to do, but could I claim integrity? We both know the answer is no. Unless we're being creative and saying, well, Jeff, if your purpose in life is to test your functional alcoholism while still promoting yourself, then maybe, but come on.
I don't think that's a good example of having integrity, though.
No. All right. If I said I was going to sleep on the couch 20 out of every 24 hours for a month straight, and that I did that, I would have done what I said I was going to do, but I can't claim integrity. If I said I was going to get in the car and drive into the first pedestrian I saw, and then I did that, I will have done what I said I was going to do, but I can't claim integrity. So be your word is good, but it's not enough. The only reason that people stop there is so that they could judge other people for not being the word instead of look within to their own.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, on the other side of the equation, do the right thing when nobody's watching. What the hell is the right thing? If you find out, will you let me know? Doesn't it change from context to context? Right?
It sure does, but I think there's a certain moral code that we should all be living up to. And I think that there's an underlying expectation of what that means.
Well, if I'm a fan. If there was a universal moral code where we all agreed to don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, and then call the rest whatever the hell you want, no labels.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm.
Can we just all agree on that? We'll say, no, in the name of this, it's okay to lie. In the name of this, it's okay to steal. In the name of this, it's okay to cheat. In the name of this, it's okay to...
Right.
We can't even agree on who our president is. You want to tell me what's right or wrong in any given situation?
Yeah.
Now, let's make it softer than that, than the heaviness, okay? How many of us would agree, don't lie, never lie, never lie, ever? Unless you have kids and you want to put an elf on your shelf for 26 days to guilt them into good behavior. Then lie the hell out of them.
Yeah.
How many of you have integrity? We all know we're... Right? If I'm allowed, I don't know, can that be edited out? Anyway.
No, you can swear. It's fine.
Yeah, well, we're all full of shit, okay? Right? We're all full of shit. And, you know, I didn't write this book because I'm the expert on integrity. I wrote the book because I want more in my life. I'm just inviting everybody to play along.
Sure.
I've made a commitment to having more in my life, right? Yeah. So the idea is word with behavior, behavior with values, good, gets the party started. But but it's not enough. It just keeps us in judgment of others.
Yeah.
So I created a 10-point model, which become question sets. And I think these 10 things that we want to bring together, 10 things we want to integrate.
Yeah.
And it's 10 points, which works out great for me because all 10 points on the model are doors into a whole land of personal and professional growth content.
Sure.
So fantastic for a curricularizer and a content guy and a speaker and a
yeah.
facilitator and a retreat host and all these things that I do, right?
Yeah.
And plus working with people on public speaking and branding and writing speeches and getting people ready for big stages. I mean, so for me, you know, I can knock on any 10 of these doors and get into a land, a universe of personal
sure.
professional growth content, organize and help, right? But the other thing, too, back to non-threatening accountability, and I'll pause and catch my breath and
okay.
Is that when you see the 10 points on the model as question sets, now all we got to do is invite people to understand and answer the questions.
Yeah.
And then I can hold you accountable to your answers. What do you think the right thing is? What do you think is good or bad or right or wrong? You tell me what you think it is. But most people will not answer the tough questions for themselves because then they can be held accountable. It's so much easier to sit back in judgment of others than to look and work within.
Yeah.
And so the integrity game wants to make it fun and easy to look within. And here's what's, maybe I'll end with this, but most people feel accountability is going to be an attack when they're not ready to be 100% responsible for their behavior. So most people don't want to associate with accountability,
but
they
are. That's the problem.
Yeah, what's interesting, this is what I figured out. It's like, oh, accountability, no thanks, not reading, not looking, nothing to see here, I'm fine, I hold myself accountable,
I think allowing yourself to be held accountable is where the true integrity comes into play.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. So integrity is a Trojan horse.
Right.
Because everybody raises their hand when I say, how do you have integrity? But if I said, hey, how many of you have, you know, external accountability sources in your life? Not everybody's going to raise their hand. So people repel accountability for the wrong reasons and then embrace or want to associate with integrity for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
Like they want to claim to have integrity. It's like parenting or driving. I'm really good at this. It's just everybody else saw.
Oh, I love this. This is great.
This loves you too. It's mutual.
These are some very, this is awesome. Like this is a view on integrity and bringing in the accountability that I've never had this conversation with anybody before. But I think it's a conversation that needs to be had, especially when we live in a world right now where nobody wants to be accountable for anything and they just want to point the finger at everyone.
Yes.
But yet I have integrity.
Yeah.
You know, do as I say, not as I do. Right. You remember like when we were kids, your parents, like, you know, do as I say, not as I do, like that.
Yeah.
Example.
That was authority. That was accountability through authority, through fear, through coercion, through power, through, you know. So for whatever it's worth, if your listeners remember nothing from the interview, I hope they remember this. We can lead with love.
Yes.
It is totally possible to lead with love. All we have to do is be willing to be vulnerable.
Right. Yeah.
But and I'm here to tell you that vulnerable is not the same thing as threatened.
Right. True. Yeah.
Just because we could get hurt doesn't mean we're guaranteed to. And I'm not afraid of any hurt if that's a growing pain during my commitment to my beloved.
Right.
So the willingness to be vulnerable so that either I or my beloved may grow. Any pain that comes along that journey is worth it.
Absolutely. 1,000%. Woo. All right. Well, I think I'm going to have to purchase the book. Let's talk about you're the founder of Get a Clue. What is Get a Clue?
Well, it's just a cheeky little shingle I created, you know, based on my last name, Get a Clue. This is years ago when I was younger. I started my coaching consulting practice and Get a Clue. It started in high school as like the name of an article I wrote on the sports page. I wanted to write an editorial on the sports page. So I would like pick something involved with school, tell somebody to get a clue, get people pissed off so they would write letters to the editor saying, Mr. Klubeck hasn't considered this and Mr. Klubeck hasn't considered that. And then I would take these letters to the editor down to the pizza shop and say, hey, look, I got a lot of people reading the sports page that wouldn't normally read the sports page. How about a nice little quarter page ad right here in the corner, right above the letters to the editor? So, you know, I was polarizing and I'm fast paced, humor laced and a little in your face. And I'm not trying to offend you. I'm just trying to engage you in the conversation. I would never know how you feel about how hard your students work on speech and debate and forensics and drama and theater. I would never know how hard they work unless you wrote in and defended your kids after I suggested that maybe they should be a different style Letterman's jacket.
Yeah.
So I was, you know, like, hey, yeah, you know, I'm a kid. I was 17 years old. I'm like, I'm at the bowling alley and I see, you know, I wrote an article about it. Oh, Mr. Klubeck. Well, good.
Yeah.
Thank God now the sports page is a voice for you to take a stand and show your kids how much you love. God, exactly. Thank you. Yeah. Let's do it. Yeah. Anyway, so started there. But now, isn't that cute? Get a clue. Need some help? Get a clue.
I love it.
Feeling stuck? Get a clue. And it's just my silly, jokey, jovial self. Back to integrity game. It's a Trojan horse. Yeah. So is all of my humor, all my joviality. It's all a Trojan horse. Because guess what? We're thinking really hard about these things, like all the time. How do I be better? How can I improve? What do I need to overcome? What do I need to own? This is tough stuff.
Yeah.
And so let's just have a good time. And so I call it clubrication, right? Or right? Like, if feeling stuck, is it difficult? Feeling some tension? We'll dab a little clubrication on that, and it'll, you know, make things easier. So get a clue, clubrication, clucidity, happy clue year. You know, that's all fun. But that's good for solopreneurs, small and micro business owners.
Okay.
Right? Life service professionals, realtors, financial advisors, you know, small firm lawyers. So the integrity game is a better brand. It doesn't have my name attached to it. Integrity game can land in associations and corporates. So basically I'm growing up.
Sure.
And I'm growing out of Get a Clue, but I'm always going to keep that brand alive for my jovial self.
Gotcha.
What I'm invested in right now, my life's work from a career perspective right now, is to make accountability non-threatening through the integrity game.
I love it. What a great mission. Jeffrey, where can people find you, connect with you, purchase a book, and learn more about everything you got going on?
Yeah, so I'm easy to find. Things are growing, but I still answer all my own stuff. So just Google Jeff Klubeck and find me. LinkedIn is really cool. Direct message me through LinkedIn. Connect with me on LinkedIn. And right when I'm on Facebook, I think we have an Instagram. I haven't gotten around to TikTok yet. But I mean, I'm really easy to find if you Google me. Anybody can send an email to jeff@getaclue.net, GETAKLU. I'm going to offer your listeners, if anybody wants a free copy of the Integrity Game PDF, right? It's just the PDF, but anybody that emails me, I will send them a free PDF of the Integrity Game, but it's available on Amazon.com. It's like less than $15. It's a quick, easy read. It's a parable. It's a made-up story to make it really bite-sized and digestible, because again, we're Trojan horsing this really big mirror we're holding up in people's faces, and we want to find a way to get them to stand in front of it long enough to see, hey, wait, maybe that's me, but they think they're reading about a hot dog vendor that's not slinging dogs by the end of the book. And, you know, hopefully everybody can identify with the characters and see themselves along the journey.
Yeah. It's as you dig deep, it's a pretty, probably a slippery slope for people to go on, you know, they start digging in and like, whoa, you know.
See, that's the other thing. I don't call it digging deep. I call it Kluba diving.
Well,
Nobody wants to dig deep, but people will consider a Kluba dive. What the hell that is.
So I like to go deep, and I think it's, you know, that's where you start challenging people's narratives that they have in their mind, you know, and so they can clue a dive, dig deep, whatever you want to call it. living label free. Jeffrey, this is the part of the show where I like to ask for last words of wisdom or advice. What would you like to leave with us today?
Well, I'm sure you know, and I'm sure your listeners know how to finish the sentence or the saying that if we are not growing, we are dying, right? Well, I'm here to say that if we're not integrating, we just might be disintegrating. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yes. Damn, that was good. What an incredible, thought-provoking conversation. Loved it so much. Thank you for bringing this, the integrity game to our knowledge. I think it's a fantastic way to start having the accountability that you're talking about. And I'm definitely going to be reading it myself. So thank you so much for being a guest today. Really appreciate the conversation. I'm sure we're going to impact a lot of lives out there and have them questioning things after this conversation.
Yeah, I love what you're doing. I love the stand that you represent for no labels and outside of the box thinking, and all of the layers that we're willing to peel to get to universal truth. So I'm on board, and you're a fantastic host. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. All right, you guys, this is your host, Deanna Radulescu with Label Free Podcast. To live your best life, you must live label free. As always, don't forget to subscribe, follow, rate, review, comment, share, all those good things. And I'll be back soon with more dynamic guests.